was fate to make their lives complete.
So dry air when we're taking flight can cause problems with our taste buds. Now, how about this? A lot of airlines add extra seasoning to the food so that it can still taste good. How about this, though? Not only can our sense of taste be affected by that dry air, but so can our sense of smell. And one of the things that they point out is that it may be good that our sense of smell is somewhat diminished, because they say that the change in air pressure can also lead passengers to pass gas more often. Yeah, so, wow. Of course, I guess there's enough noise going on with the jet engines and all that kind of stuff that we won't hear it. But fortunately, there's a diminished risk of smelling it, too. If the prospect of breathing in the bodily gases of your fellow passengers doesn't make you feel awkward, it seems that reductions in air pressure can also make passengers feel less comfortable. Check this out. A study in 2007 showed that after about 3 hours at the altitudes found in airline cabins, people start to complain about feeling uncomfortable. Combine that with the low humidity, and it's little wonder that we find it hard to sit still for long periods on flights. A study by Austrian researchers has shown that a long-distance flight can dry out our skin by up to 37%, and that might lead to increased itchiness. Drying out the skin by up to 37% on just one long flight. For people who are already nervous flyers, there may be some more bad news. Low levels of air pressure and humidity can amplify the effects of alcohol and the hangover it produces the next day. Wow. Not a good idea to be drinking alcohol, right? Especially if you're going to fly. Notice now, they said that the low levels of air pressure and humidity can amplify not only the effects of the alcohol, but can also amplify the effects of the hangover that it produces the next day. Anxiety levels can increase with hypoxia. Okay, so here we go. Back to the discomfort and, of course, other people. Anxiety levels increasing with hypoxia. According to Dr. Valerie Martindale, president of the Aerospace Medical Association, a number of studies have shown that spending time at altitude can increase negative emotions like tension. They can make people less friendly. They can decrease their energy levels and affect their ability to deal with stress. Let me ask you something. When you've been on particularly a long flight, I'm not thinking so much about the short, let's just say 30-minute flights now or 40-minute, but the longer flights, it might take 2, 3, 4 hours. What did you find to be your experience with regards to interaction with other people on the plane? Not far as what's going on at the airport, but while you're in flight, 20,000 feet, 35,000 feet in the air, and you've been there for about an hour, do you find that the people you sit next to tend to be more willing to engage in a friendly conversation or less willing to engage in a friendly conversation? Do they seem to be somewhat irritable, cranky? Do you find that most of the people you sit next to seem to prefer not to talk at all? Hypoxia, oxygen deficiency, can increase anxiety levels, and as a result, along with it, especially on those longer flights, tension, people being less friendly, less energetic, less able to deal with stress. They've shown that some aspects of mood can be altered by exposure to cabin pressures equivalent to altitudes of only 6,000 to 8,000 feet. That, according to Professor Stephen Legg at Massey University in New Zealand, he and his team are studying the impact of mild hypoxia on people. This may go some way towards explaining why passengers often find themselves crying at films more mid-flight. But most effect in scientific studies seem to only occur at altitudes above those that commercial airline cabins are set to. Recently, Professor Legg also showed the mild dehydration that might be expected on the flight can also influence mood. So it seems that it may be a good idea to go ahead and get something to eat and get something to drink when they offer the food and drink, even if we're not particularly hungry. Because if we can go ahead and put some food in our bellies, even if it's something light, put some beverage in our bodies to combat that mild dehydration that our bodies might want to go through, we may be better off. Professor Legg says that they know very little about the effect of exposure to multiple mild stressors on complex cognition and mood, but they do know that there's a general fatigue associated with long-distance air travel. So he guesses that it's probably the combined effects of the concurrent multiple mild exposures that give rise to what they call flight fatigue. Then there's also research showing that altitude can make people feel happier. Stephen Groening, who's a professor of cinema and media at the University of Washington, believes that this happiness may also manifest itself as tears. We know that not every time someone sheds tears are they sad. Sometimes people cry because they're happy, and that's the way they're expressing their happiness. The boredom on a flight and the relief given by an in-flight movie, combined with the privacy of the small screen and the headphones used to watch it, could lead to tears of joy and not sadness. But Hinkelbein has uncovered another strange change in the human body that could also be messing the way our bodies normally work. A new study that he conducted with colleagues at the University of Cologne, but yet to be published, has shown that even 30 minutes in similar conditions to those experienced on a commercial airliner can change the balance of molecules that are associated with the immune system in the blood of volunteers. It suggests that the lower air pressure may actually cause a change in the way our immune systems work. Can you imagine that? Even our immune systems affected by what's going on in the air. People used to think that they got a cold or a flu when traveling based on changes in the climate of wherever they landed. But it could be because their immune response changes while on a flight. So that's something that they're going to be trying to research in more detail so they can come up with more answers. A one-off inflammatory challenge from a vaccine can actually produce a mood dip that resolves in about 48 hours, according to Dr. Ed Bullmore, who's head of psychiatry at the University of Cambridge. He says it really would be interesting if a 12-hour flight to the other side of the world caused something similar. Have any of you experienced any issues with regards to your immune system with sickness, particularly on those longer flights? And maybe you went to the other side of the country. Maybe you went to another country altogether. You crossed the seas to another country. Any impact on your immune system? I know we're talking jet lag. We're talking about different time zones and how all that can have an impact on us as well. But what about just these other factors they talked about? Well, when we come back, let's resume the discussion we've had a few times about sexual satisfaction. We want to continue to help build our marriages and hopefully make for healthier, more vibrant families. So we'll resume our discussion of sexual satisfaction in just a few.
Our bodies have been healed. Our souls have been healed.